when we arrived here in town. Matthew 4:19, Jesus said to Peter and his brother Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I believe this with all my heart. I have followed God. But during the time when I walked with the Lord, there is sometimes this apathy or lack of really reaching out to others. Even as a missionary there back in the Philippines, I said to the Lord, "Create in me a heart that would truly love you. That would be a motivating factor so that I could be empowered by you in reaching out and be a witness." And this song here that we would like to share is a prayer song for each of us to give us a passion for the Lord, not just to serve Him, but to love Him with all of our hearts so that He could use us in the way He wants to use us. May this be a prayer of all of our hearts this morning, a passion for Thee.
I think this pulpit is not made for Filipinos. Too high. Filipinos are short. I think the pastor did not anticipate this, that the preacher is going short.
Yeah, well, I told him last night when he came in and he looked up, I said, "You didn't know there were giants in the land in those days." I forgot one thing. I want to make sure all the children know they're dismissed for their program as well. And we just appreciate our brother. Sorry about this. We can't cut it right now, okay?
That's okay. I just know where this is a little bit. We are really excited to be here. First time to be in this church. and the privilege to participate in your missionary conference. And my wife and I are really excited to be here. We enjoyed the Sunday school this morning and to meet other missionaries who are also participating in this conference. My wife is the only girl in the family. 6 boys and only girl. So when I was courting her, I was very careful of the 6 brothers. Like hawk watching her. But I made it. It is really a joy to give the Word of God. I have been preaching over the radio for over 25 years now, and we'll be sharing with you more of this later on in our testimony. But I would like to start this message by saying that nothing is so close to the heart of God, the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, than the church. That's why we read in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, that he bought the church with his precious blood. Very close to his heart. And the local church is the visible representation of the invisible church, which is the body of Jesus Christ. And we are very proud to be identified with the local church. That's why in Iloilo, we belong to Dawn Baptist Church. And when people ask us, yes, we are members of Dawn Baptist Church. An institution that is very close to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are some people who take pride that they are members of the Lions Club or Rotary Club. Those are great civic organizations. And in the Philippines, we have the ladies, they have the Zonta Club. And the members of that club are rich, wealthy women in the city. Prominent women. But I tell you, to be a member of a local church is a great thing. And you should be proud that you are a member of this church. We are not ashamed to tell people around that you are members of the church. And the Lord Jesus Christ loved the church so much that he wants us to see us happy, helping each other, and bearing each other's burden. And also he wants us to be one. He wants us to be united. And this is the focus of our message this morning. I would like you to open your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 26. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 26. And before we read this, shall we look to God in prayer and ask for his blessing upon his word this morning? Almighty God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can do your work not in the power of the flesh, but in the power of the Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that your word is alive and quick, able to change our lives, able to challenge us, able to encourage us. And we thank you that we can ask the Holy Spirit this morning to just speak to each one of us through your word, that you would hide your servant behind the cross, and that you yourself will be seen, that you will be magnified in our midst this morning, even during this conference. So, Father, bless our service today, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have a burden with this message because even in our place today, even in our churches there are divided. And the moment the church divides, it loses its spiritual power and its influence in the community. It's sad. We have one church there in the Philippines that divided 4 times. No more testimony in the town. It becomes a joke in the town. What happened to this Baptist church? They have no testimony to give. And when we arrived here in Grand Rapids, one big church in Grand Rapids, when we left, it was really flourishing, as if the Lord was really blessing it. But when we came, fight it again. And Satan discovered that by doing so, he will be very successful in hindering the work of missions and the work of the Lord. And I believe the call today is for us to be united. And this is the message that we find in this text this morning. Our commitment as a church is to be one. And I hope that is the commitment of this church here. That by the grace of God, He will keep us one and united until the Lord comes. That should be the commitment of every church that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. To be united. That we should be one. That we should be committed to stick together with pastor or without a pastor. In prosperity or in adversity. Just like when we make that vow. When you made that vow before the altar to your wife. That was your promise. I remember a couple, they came to the States, old couple, and one day they were watching their grandchildren, and the wife left, went to the store, and the husband had a heart attack, and when she came back, the husband was already, almost at the point of death, because a very serious heart attack, and they went home. And for many years, the husband was the one taking good care of the wife was the one taking good care of the husband, feeding her and everything. And one day, the wife said, "Honey, I really pity you. You have been doing this for me." And the husband said, "Remember, honey, when we were facing the altar, we made a promise. We are in this together. And I hope this is also the heart cry of every member of the church. We are in this together, in prosperity, in any problem that we have. May God help us to be together. Otherwise, Satan will be hindering the word of the Lord." So in the scriptures we find that this is God's desire for us to be one. There are many passages in the Bible. Like for example in John chapter 10 verse 16, one fold and one shepherd. And Romans 12:5, so we being many are one body in Christ. In Galatians 3:28 we read, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. And we read in Psalms 133, verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? In unity. In the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, in John 17:21, Jesus prayed for the believers that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That's what we find in scriptures. That is the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of us, to be one. And a little background of this text that we have. If you read chapter 1, verse 11, there was a problem in this church. There was a division in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. Some are for Paul and others for other leaders of the church. So that's why Apostle Paul wrote this portion of the scriptures. And it is clear that although this church in Thessalonica, in Corinth, was a gifted church, but you will notice that even in your study, that although they were gifted, they were immature people. They always quarreled. They were carnal people. You find that in your study. It was an immature and unspiritual people. And in our text here, Paul expresses desire for them to be one, to exercise their spiritual gifts in a mature and spiritual manner. So the Lord Jesus Christ put into print a beautiful passage here in Scripture, emphasizing the importance of unity. In 1 Corinthians 12:12-26. And unity is a timeless truth we need really to know and live out together. The first thing here that we find in our text is this. In verse 12 of chapter 12, it says, "The body is one," or is a unit, "though it is made up of many parts." We are many, yet one. That is the first thing that we notice here. We are many, yet one with each other. And Apostle Paul here compares the church or the body, or the church here, to the human body. Just like the human body that we have so many parts. Teeth, the arms, the legs. We have so many parts in our body, yet we are one. In verse 12. And it is the Holy Spirit that makes us one. Not the flesh. Because the work of the flesh is to divide us. The moment carnality or the flesh reigns in the church, it is going to divide the church. But if we will just follow the dictates of the Holy Spirit, what He tells us, it is a guarantee that we will be one. And it is the Holy Spirit that does that. It simply means that if there is unity in the church, it is an evidence that we are guided by the Holy Spirit. You can say that if there is unity, that means everybody is just following and submitting to the workings of the Holy Spirit. I believe those churches that divided, especially that one I mentioned to you, they divided four times. I don't think they allow the Holy Spirit to control them. It's carnality. It's the flesh. Because that is the work of the flesh. This unity is not the work of the Holy Spirit. And you will notice here also in our text, especially in the first part of chapter 12, that we recognize the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives in verse 3 of chapter 12. That Jesus Christ is Lord. We submit to His Lordship. The Lord of this church is Jesus Christ, is our Lord. Not the pastor or the chairman of the Board of Deacons. He is the Lord here. We must submit to Him. We must be willing to give up our rights. Impossible just to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We recognize Him as the Lord, and the moment we do that, then there is unity in the church. I have witnessed so many, having been in the ministry for a long time, why they quarrel, why they have divisions, because they want their own way. Pride and stubbornness instead of submitting to the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we find in verse 3 of our text, the same Lord who worked all in all in verse 6. And as Lord, we recognize His authority. We recognize His authority. And we submit to the Holy Spirit. You know, there is only one thing that I hope will stick to our mind in this message. I hope even just two. Let's submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and submit to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, you know, you have some disagreement with your wife. I don't know if you have experienced that. One time, it was my fault. I know it was my fault. But because you are a man, you know, you are macho, you are not willing to surrender. But the Holy Spirit keeps on telling me, hey, it's your fault. Will you just allow your carnal desire to, you will follow the Holy Spirit? Especially if you are a pastor. And you know, just the Lord will never give you peace unless you submit to Him, if you're a born-again believer. And finally, I have to say to my wife, honey, please forgive me. That's very hard to say, but by the grace of God, you will be able to do that. And how can we know that we are united if we put to death that independent spirit? You know, this independent spirit is terrible. Just like the wife who said, well, my salary is bigger than your salary. I don't need your help anymore. Try to be independent. But no, it should not be that way in the church. That should be eliminated. If we are connected to each other by the Spirit, that is a sign that we are united. If there is an effort on our part to be identified with Christ and with other members of the family, if we show concern for each other, if we are not living a solo life, instead a life that is sensitive to the needs of other members of the church, then we can say that there is unity. It is doing things in the power of the Spirit and not through human effort. So that's the first thing here that we notice in our text. We are many, yet one with each other. Second, from verses 14 to 20, we differ, yet we belong to each other. I'm different from you. I'm shorter, you're taller. We are all different. When in fact here from verses 14 to 20, the Apostle Paul there mentioned four parts of the body: the foot, the hand, the eye, and the ear. And the ear will never say to the eye, sorry, I don't need you. That would be terrible. Nothing will happen. We need each other. We differ, yet we belong to each other. So different. But we belong to each other. Different, yet belong with each other. Why are we different? Because that's the way God made us. That's the way God made us. Filipinos were made us with a brown color. Your color is different. Somebody said the Filipino color is the right color. Different, yet we belong to each other. And the good sign that we belong to each other is, number one, when we are faithful to each other. Are we faithful to each other? It's like the parable of the talents. Second sign that we belong to each other is when we don't fight each other. In verse 16, the ear saying, I am not the eye. I'm fine. In fact, the more spiritual should help, the less spiritual. In Galatians 6:1, you that are strong should bear the infirmities of the weak. And that is our ministry, helping those who are slow in their growth spiritually. Be concerned for each other. In Romans 12:1, that is what we read. Those who are strong should bear the infirmities of the weak. And the third thing here that we find in our text, not only that we differ yet belong to each other, the third thing is we are weak. We are weak. And we need each other. You believe that? You agree to that? Nobody here in this church can say, no, I don't need your help. The mouth cannot say to the, or the ear cannot say to the mouth, hey, mouth, I don't need you. We are all weak. We need each other. Even though how talented you are, even though how rich you are, no man is an island, in other words. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. We truly need each other. When I was diagnosed with cancer a few years ago, so many people prayed for me. And I told them, I need your prayers. And they prayed. I am here before you today because of those people who prayed. We really need each other. It must be very hurting to hear someone say to us, I don't need you. That would be very hurting. And the weak ones must be given more care. We read in verse 23 and 24 of our text. And part of our ministry is to strengthen the weak. We are weak and we need each other. So our common good is to be one for the well-being of the entire body of Christ. And the work of missions of winning souls, unless we are united, unless all of us will participate for the cause of missions, we won't be able to accomplish a lot. But if we unite in prayer, in our resources, great things will be accomplished for the Lord. We must be willing, as I said, to give up anything for the sake of unity. That's why this is one of the calls for our missionary conference, that we have to be united in this effort. We are interdependent. In spite of our differences, we are interrelated with Christ. If you read our text there, different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but serving just one Lord. We have different kinds of ministries here. The work in France, the work with the children, the work in the Philippines. Different areas of services, but we are only serving one Lord. And when we do that, you're going to see the beauty in serving the Lord. We are baptized in one body. So there is no such thing as private or individual Christianity. No such thing as that. We need to be united and get involved in the lives of others. Not just enjoy your own relationship with God. It's like one time I was talking to a lady in the Philippines. Well, he said, brother, well, I'm just enjoying my own life. I don't want to bother others. That's not the Christian life. That you enjoy yourself? No, you have to share your life with others. That's why every day, from 7 days a week, I preach all the radio. I am always excited to give the Word of God. Because there is something there that you would like to share to them. The solution to their problem. That it is the Lord Jesus Christ alone that can change their lives. So maybe in this congregation this morning, there might be some need in our lives. We go to church, but probably there is still more that we can do. last March 6-9, we attended a missionary conference. And one of the speakers there was Dr. Kenton. And he preached on the need of the lost souls. And I was convicted by his message. Because he said, many of you pastors, it just become a habit that you go to your office, prepare your sermon. You think feel good about that because you have prepared a good sermon. But how many of you hear that every time you go out of the house, you have that in mind in your heart to really seek for someone, to have an appointment with someone, asking the Lord to help you to tell somebody. And I was convicted. Because I found myself many times in that situation. I go to my work in my recording studio, prepare my message. I said, okay, I've done my part. But I discovered sometimes, there were many times that I didn't have that. Who is today? When will this, the Lord lead me to somebody? I should make an appointment with somebody. Maybe in your own office or wherever you were. That will be the prayer of your heart. That every day as you go out, you want to make an appointment with somebody to tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I talked to Dr. Kenton. I said, thank you for your message. It was a blessing. At the same time, it was so convicting. Yes, we go. We have all this truck you can give out. And it's very effective when you give a truck to somebody. Because the moment you give that, they start asking questions sometimes, and it's a good starting point of your conversation. We have to confess it is not easy. Many times in the plane, I really would like to talk to this guy, but I don't know him. You have that experience. But may God help us. May God help us. To pray, Lord, I want to have an appointment with somebody today and tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God for that missionary conference. So, going back to our message today, this is the call for our missionary conference. Let us all be one. And when we are one in Christ, we can do more. One missionary said, if we are serving the Lord, we are serving the best of all masters and in the best of all terms. Amen to that? Is there a better master than the Lord Jesus Christ? You serve Satan, what will you get? To our young people, you will open marijuana, alcoholic drinks. But we are in the Lord. He is the best of all. He is the best of all masters. Terms? He has the best of all terms. And praise God for that. I am standing before you this morning because one lady missionary by the name of Miss Moana Kemery, who graduated from Moody Bible Institute, came to our little barrio and started a Sunday school class. That's how I came to know the Lord as my Savior. She is with the Lord now. But thank God for Miss Moana Kemery. All of us, 9 of us, 5 boys and 4 girls, we all came to know the Lord and our parents. And we love the Lord because of that lady missionary who came to the Philippines in 1939. Later on came to our little town and have a Sunday school class in front of her house. Came from a Catholic, very strong Catholic church. But my dad allowed her to do that. And that was the beginning of our encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Missions? Yes. Let us continue. Because there are still a lot of souls in different parts of the world who need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And may God use this church and all of us before the Lord comes to fulfill the Great Commission. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, there is so much to be done. Sometimes we are overwhelmed by what we see around us. But we thank you, Lord, that you can use us in whatever capacity you have given us, the gift you have given us. Lord, continue to give us that passion for the lost souls. Help me, Lord, to pray daily. To lead me to a soul, to make an appointment with somebody, to tell the Lord Jesus Christ and His love. So we commit to you, Lord, this message this morning. May you bless this, our hearts. Challenge us to really go out and seek for the lost souls. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Have you ever had a situation where you've had a leg in a cast, an arm in a sling, an eye that doesn't quite work the way you want it to? What's that feel like? And what is that, just to take that spiritual analogy and think about it, what is to become of our body of believers here if some are in not in action, in slings? Immobilized, not doing anything, not using their gifts, besides all of the petty differences that could divide us and keep our attention off the things that they should be on. What an excellent testimony and preaching you've given to us, brother. Thank you for that challenge. We needed to hear that today. Let's ask Brother Bill if he'll come and lead us in our final hymn, and then we'll close in prayer and invite you to come over to the next room down the hall in a few minutes and share the potluck meal with us.